about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Welcome back. Your dreams are your ticket out. Good to see all of you together.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Ladies and gentlemen, just as good as I remembered it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
Oh.
There are no words. I'm so glad I'm starting my diet tomorrow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm. Oh, that's so good.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
Smell it.
The stoners. That people on reefer.
Yeah.
Smell them splits. Stony dudes and chicks. It's wonderful. People are high. Flying high. Smoking. Tossing a doobie. And hoping not to bogart it. I love those people.
I'm not mad at it.
Hey, Steve. How about you come over here and hit it? Giggity.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Oh, hello.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Don't say boner in front of a kid.
Roll another one. Just like the other one.
Why can't my boobs get bigger?
This one seems to be about quit.
Can I get a boop boop?
No.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
I'll allow it.
Roll another one.
They call her Pocahontas.
Just like the other one.
A racist slur.
This one seems to be about.
That's not responsible broadcasting.
And I don't have another cent.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
But we'll both not get joints.
Stress me out.
Just pass it around.
That needle is the size of my wiener.
And don't both not get joints, my friend.
Come on now.
But just pass it on down.
And now.
Oh! Ladies and gentlemen, we have genuine wood. Huh? Look at that!
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday morning, the 10th of August.
That seemed like a very aggressive start, didn't it?
It was something.
Yeah.
A lot of things I don't want to think about this early in the morning.
Well, you're the one that played them.
Open. That wasn't me, man.
Maybe a lot of things that you do want to hear about.
There was beer mug, I think.
Yeah.
Responsible for that.
Yeah.
So what if everybody Marine crawled out of a staff meeting?
I mean, wouldn't that be awesome? Just one by one, no one notices, under the radar.
Yeah.
The back half of the room's gone.
Right.
Oh, I'm just going to step out and get some coffee. You'd never come back. Oh, I've just got to use a little girl's room. You'd never come back.
Yeah.
And then one by one, they realize that there's no one left in the meeting.
Yeah. Meetings are good.
Meetings aren't good. And here's the thing about meetings.
They're not good.
They're not good. I established.
Okay.
But they take 10 times longer than they have to. The information, there's never been more ways or more easier ways to transmit information from employers to employees now. It should be so much faster than it is in person in a meeting.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. There was a 3-hour meeting yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And they were focusing mainly on one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, I did that one thing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Allie's not positive she did that right.
Mm-hmm.
And I texted Dave, and he had no idea what we were supposed to.
Yeah.
3-hour meeting.
I feel like one really succinct email about how to do it.
That's
could
all
have
it takes.
Solved all of this,
right? And then
right?
you can reference it, go
sure.
back and check.
Sure.
Right.
Maybe bookmark it.
Right, good.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, I just don't know that in person, in a room with 100 people, is the best way for retention mm-hmm. of complicated information.
Yeah.
It just, I don't, right?
Listen, I love meetings. That's
yeah,
my
you
thing.
Do. It's where you shine.
Right.
Who else?
I wish it was longer.
Yeah. Who else Kevin's it? Are you the only one, or are there other people who take your lead and go, well, if Kevin's gone, I'm leaving?
How would we know? That's how ninja-like they are.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Chip said first thing this morning, is, Kevin, you were a ninja. I didn't even see you leave.
So
well, I knew that I needed too soon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I recognized when Chip's row was all looking to the left, mm-hmm. and the uh-huh. guy that was speaking was looking to the right, which is their left.
Right.
And I did marine crawl across the aisle. Mm-hmm. And get out, and I figured, oh, this is perfect,
yeah, this yeah. is
and just went for it.
Right.
Yeah, clean shot.
Yeah.
Very
so impressive. When getting out of a meeting, mm-hmm. I'm a ninja. It's really yeah. the only time in my life that I'm.
And retention of information in that meeting.
Strong.
Strong. That's good times, you guys.
Yeah.
Hey, I thought this was fascinating. This is the biggest study that I have ever seen about dating apps.
Do we have time for a thing?
Do we have time for a thing?
Yeah, we do. I just forgot you. Yeah.
Okay. This is a Kevin, you probably still get the journal Science Advances. I'm sure you get that at home, right? You read it every month.
Sure.
Elizabeth Bruch is her name. She is an associate professor of complex systems and sociology at the University of Michigan. And she did a long-term research study on 187,000 heterosexual daters on a popular free online dating service that is unnamed due to a non-disclosure agreement they signed with the company. But I'm sure it's one of the big ones.
Sure.
And she was expecting when she went in that there would be what she called a desirability gap, which is people who are attempting to date those out of their league. But she put a number on it, by the way.
What does that mean, a number on it?
A number on how out of their league they are. She was expecting it to be you'd shoot for something reasonable, like 5 or 10% out of your league. But she found that online datings pursue people roughly 25% more desirable than they are.
25%?
And she has a whole bunch of criteria. So in other words, I think what she's saying is you're a 6 and you ought to be going for a 7 or an 8 and you're going for a 10. Mm-hmm. I think that's what she's saying
here. Right.
Or something close to that, you know? I mean, first of all, I say why not? What's the downside to shooting for the stars if you're on a dating app except for the fact that you're getting nowhere with it?
I mean, if you want to get anywhere, then you don't do it that way.
Mm-hmm. She does say that that most people get about a 10% return strategy on the messages that they send out. They hear back from about 10% of the people, which isn't a great odd, but again, it's free to send somebody a message.
But let me just say this. When you say they're a 7 or an 8, you're mostly talking about looks.
Well, that's what most people base their initial conversation on when they're on a dating app.
And that's my point. You're going to miss a lot of good people.
And that's what we've been saying for years on this show with singles parties and everything else. Yeah.
What about, and hear me out.
Yes.
Those people that think they're a 7 or an 8.
Right.
And they're a 3.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Those delusional people.
Just
you
say
don't
it, guys.
Get where, no, there's some, okay. some women.
Woo. I think that's exactly where this 25% is coming from, is people who are not being honest about where they rank.
Hmm. Where they fit in the grand scheme.
They're not being honest, or they don't realize, maybe.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. The doctor measured desirability by looking at how many messages a user received and how popular the senders were. They had a whole ranking like Google uses for search engines. Now, this is the most depressing paragraph for me, Allie, and I'm sure it will be for you as well. A woman's average desirability, again, if you're just joining us, we're talking about a study on dating apps. A woman's average desirability begins to drop starting at age 18 and every year afterward.
Oh, that bums you out, Bean?
It's depressing
really?
As hell.
Really depresses you? Really?
I said it would be you,
yeah,
too.
You took it just it to the heart.
Well, like, that one must have felt
wow.
like a punch
I
in the
hate
gut
feeling
right
that
there.
For my sisters. Woo.
So somebody's swiping through and going, oh, this one's 22. What the hell? That one over there is 20.
Isn't that funny?
How old are men? At what age do men peak on dating apps, Allie?
Oh, yeah, they don't age out in anything, Bean.
Sure they do. 50 is when men tend to peak in desirability. 50!
That's when they peak?
Yes. When it comes to education, this is the rest of the most depressing paragraph I've ever read. When it comes to education, if you are a man, The more education you have, the more desirable you are to women.
Oh, let me guess. Let me guess. Let me guess. As a woman,
yes,
the less educated you are, the more desirable you are to men.
Close. Your desirability peaks with an undergraduate degree, but anything after that, any kind of postgraduate or master's degree or doctor's, anything like that, you take an enormous hit. People want women only so smart, but not smart enough.
We need to raise better men.
It's a miracle anyone gets together.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Men are the worst, by the way.
Agreed.
But we've known that. Race plays heavily into the results. It will not surprise
you.
They
make them run now?
It will not surprise you which two groups are most sought after overall, Allie. White men, Asian women.
Makes sense.
Most sought after overall.
Hmm.
They also go on to say, and I know we're out of time here, but they also go on to say that, first of all, the single most popular user in the study of 187,000 users is an unidentified 30-year-old woman in New York who received 1,504 messages in just 1 month.
Wow.
Averaging to one message every 30 minutes around the clock.
Wow.
What's her deal, by the way?
She's still 100%. Still hasn't found anyone.
100% fake.
Is she double jointed? I mean, what's going on here?
Oh.
I'm just saying. They also say, and I'll close with this, by the way, that there is very little relation between how well people will get on in real life based on how they get on the app, which I thought was really, really interesting. It is not particularly useful in predicting how compatible you will be with that person when you meet face to face. So they recommend meeting people off of dating apps. Spend less time browsing profiles and more time meeting people and asking them for a cup of coffee or going out for a beer or whatever.
I hope this study wasn't done by a dating app because they screwed themselves.
Yeah, no kidding, right? No, it wasn't. It was done by the University of Michigan. But it sounds like there's nothing very surprising in that for you, Allie.
Mm-mm.
But I thought it was kind of eye-opening. So
I've always wished I was an Asian woman.
Right?
Same.
Yeah.
You would be so married right now.
Oh, so hot.
All right, let's talk about this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I feel sorry for you because no one in this world cares about you, and you're a dickhead, and you're going to die alone.
Oh, wow.
All right. I can accept that.
Really?
When I'm in charge, things are going to change.
Mm.
We're going to talk about that today. We've got some huge plans.
Yeah.
So that when I get made emperor or whatever we are.
If people would just ask me, I know how things should be done.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That's what Allie's saying as well. Our friend Jensen Karp will join us for Get Up On This.
Nice.
Bringing us something new that we're not aware of. Comedian Greg Fitzsimmons in studio. Very excited about him. He's always funny.
With his little hat?
With his little hat, yeah. A brand new internet roundup on this morning show, and it's Friday, so we've got Keep It 100 coming up. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:56.
By the way, I didn't expect this, but we are still giving away for today's HD Radio Soundspace appearance by Bishop Briggs more seats, more tickets this morning. I thought we were done with those yesterday. But great news between 6 and 7 a.m. this morning. Coming up in the next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we can hook you up for an event that's happening today down the hall here at the HD Radio Soundspace to see the great Bishop Briggs. So stand by if you want to get in on that. We have one of your final chances to win coming up. All right, Allie, finally Friday. What's going on with you?
Yep, Friday.
It is Friday.
Oh, really? I've got Friday here in my paper.
No, yeah, read it. Read it again. We fixed it.
Oh.
Go ahead.
Oh, you know what? That does look like a D.
Okay. Just say it, though.
Friday.
Nope.
Friday.
You can do it.
Day.
There you go. Lose a big boy. That's weird. So you guys know my love for Amy Poehler. It's strong. I was a huge Parks and Recreation fan. Mm-hmm. She's now pretty busy. She's currently hosting NBC's Making It alongside fellow Parks and Rec alum Nick Offerman. She's got a new Netflix film coming out, Wine Country. She's also executive producing NBC's new comedy, I Feel Bad. However, she was on stage with the rest of the cast with 2018's Television Critics Association press tour, and she was asked if she could find time for a Parks and Recreation reboot.
Okay.
I was not expecting this. Here's what she said. First of all, this is a quote, so I'm not just saying it like this. I'm a veil. I'm Tech-a-ville. So she said that, and then she said, someone asked when, and she said, oh, God, I have no idea. Everybody has my number. It's kind of common knowledge. We all have a text chain. We talk to each other almost every day. So I think everyone would be excited to do some version of it. And then she said, hopefully on ice.
She's awesome.
I love her so much, but I mostly love that they all have a text chain, and they're all
great.
Just
that's pretty cool.
Writing to each other.
They're still friends. And by the way, for people who wonder, oh, Chris Pratt, though, he's too famous now. He's every time he's asked, he says, I'm in. Just tell me where to be. I'm happy to be Andy Dwyer again.
That show, I feel like, was the love of his life.
Yeah. Sure seems like it, yeah.
Oh, so good.
It was so good.
You know who isn't available?
Who?
Little Sebastian.
Oh, yeah.
He's in horsey heaven, guys.
Oh, R.I.P.
I shouldn't have brought that up.
I mean, it brought us all down,
it
but
really
okay.
It really did. Chrissy Teigen can't get away from earthquakes. I don't know if you heard about this, but she's on vacation with her husband in Bali. And on Sunday, she was live tweeting a 7.0. 7.0.
Wow,
that's
huge.
That is huge, right? So then the earth shook again on Wednesday night, and she tweeted... Well, what was ours? Wednesday night. She said, earthquake in the daytime. That's a change. And then she guessed it was maybe a 3. And users started saying, no, that was a 6.2. And she then tweeted, well, at this point, they're all small compared to a couple days ago. She's now been in a 7.0 and a 6.2 in the course of 3 days.
It's her.
That's what I'm saying. It's Don't her. Go on vacation with Chrissy Teigen.
Right.
Who's with me? How was that noise?
That was good.
Oh, some birthdays for you guys. Antonio Banderas. Right?
Right.
See? Do you hear that Spanish?
Sure.
Yeah. Michael Bivins. You know him. Belle Biv DeVoe.
Sure.
Now you know. Justin Theroux. And Rosanna Arquette. A lot of people know her from Pulp Fiction, Desperately Seeking Susan. I know her from the Toto video, right? Rosanna. There was a chain link fence. She was just walking by.
Yeah.
I mean, Toto.
I don't remember.
Toto's
that.
Big right now. Weezer. Weird Al.
I mean, the Weezer version of that song is big right now.
You're right.
Okay.
That's what's happening.
I know we're gonna change the world between 7 and 8. We're going to do a topic on when I'm running things.
Right.
And I haven't worked out all the details. I have so many great ideas, Kevin, that I need to narrow it down before we get there. I mean, I'm starting with free tacos.
Shoot.
Again,
I didn't even think about free tacos.
I don't know how it's going to work, but tell me free tacos doesn't make America the best country on earth all over
again. It's pretty strong.
Yeah,
it's like pretty strong. Again, I don't know who's going to pay for it, where the tacos are going to come from, how they're going to be distributed.
Mexico will pay for it. Don't worry about it.
These are some of the details we're working out, but we do have that coming up between 7 and 8. We're going to be looking for your ideas of how, when you're running things, things are going to be better.
It looks like you might be one of us.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:51.
I should never have to hear Chip say the words, hey, Kevin,
right,
song's over.
I was having a very fascinating conversation.
Yes,
were you?
Certainly were.
With myself.
Hey, our friend Jensen Karp joins us right after the top of the hour. Apparently, he is going to introduce us to something new, like he does on his very popular Get Up On This podcast. He's an influencer, I think.
Sure.
On the program. He's going to come in and share something with us that we all need to know about. So that's coming up. Comedian Greg Fitzsimmons later as well. And Keep It 100, of course, because it's Friday.
Day.
Hey, Allie.
No, you can't
hey,
do
Allie,
that.
Hey, Allie, it's Friday. What's
happening?
What's happening?
But he can't do it because then he sends it to me and I'm supposed to get right into it. No. Just
you
say
what?
Friday.
If he says Friday before it happens, then just don't talk.
You just have be silent.
Yes. You
okay.
have to be introduced.
In the spirit of Friday, what's happening with you, girl? Allie, in your segment that's on now here on this Friday?
Friday.
Yes. All right. Idris Elba, back trending on Twitter.
Guilty.
Back everyone. Nope, not charged with anything.
Oh.
There's been back and forth about him playing Bond since 2014.
He would be so great at that.
Yeah. It all started, though, when, remember when that massive Sony hack happened?
Yes.
And there were emails from, I think, then head of Sony, Amy Pascal, where she told a colleague, Idris should be the next Bond. And it kind of took off from there and then got people talking like, oh, he really should be the next Bond. Unless you ask him, and he says, no, I shouldn't be.
No interest?
In fact, he thinks the next Bond should be a woman.
Okay.
Which is interesting. But now new reports indicate that James Bond producers are starting to lean more towards the idea of Idris taking the role. The director revealed the details of conversation with Bond producer Barbara Broccoli, which right there, I mean, I'm listening to anything a woman Barbara Broccoli is saying.
I'm out.
That's
it
a
must
great
be good
name.
For you. I mean, her name's Broccoli.
That's what I'm saying. It's a great name. She said, it's time for a non-white actor to take on the iconic role. Then they discussed who might be in the running, and she said, it will eventually happen with Idris Elba.
Oh, so great.
Or Michael Cera.
Or Michael Cera.
Sure.
I mean, he could grow into that role 30, 40 years. He could be Bond.
This is going to be an unpopular opinion, but I like Daniel Craig a whole bunch as James Bond.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm in no hurry to show him the door.
I think he's in a hurry to scurry on out.
Yeah, I feel like he's looking at the door.
He says that at the end of every movie, and then they offer him another truckload of cash, and he's back in. And he does a great job. All of his Bond movies have been so
I agree, he does a great job, and if he wants to continue, great. But if he doesn't, Idris Elba would be a fantastic choice.
Yeah, I think it's his role until he says he's done,
right.
For sure. But, I mean, Idris would be great. I still say Tom Hardy would be wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I support all of it because, you know, now I'm a big James Bond kind of gal.
Sure.
Watching two of them.
You did watch them both.
Yeah.
Because there are only two.
There are only two. Absolutely. So Macaulay Culkin, remember him? Home Alone kid?
Sure.
He was on the Joe Rogan Experience podcast, and he said that he could have been one of TV's most highest paid stars. But he didn't think the premise for the show that they were pitching him was any good. In fact, he thought the show sounded so lame. That show, The Big Bang Theory.
Wow.
He was approached not once, not twice, but three times to be on that show. And he said, quote, it was the pitch. And I was like, yeah, I'm cool, thanks. And then they came back at me again, and I said, no, again, flattered, but no. Then they came at me again, and even my manager was, like, twisting my arm. He said the pitch, all right, two astrophysicist nerds and a pretty girl lives with them in New York. Yoinks! He's still making fun of the show. By the way, that cast is now pulling down about $1 million per episode.
The highest paid cast on television.
Yeah, it's only just wrapped their 11th season.
Who would he have played on The Big Bang Theory?
I don't know. He didn't say that, but he did say, still no regrets. This is my favorite quote of the whole interview. I'd have hundreds of millions of dollars right now if I did that gig. At the same time, I'd be bashing my head against the wall. He hates The Big Bang Theory.
It's crazy.
Now, what's happening?
Dumb question. Of course, Home Alone was, you know, literally one of the top 10 comedies of all time.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't make bank off of that as a kid, being hired for his first big role, right? There's no way he benefited from the huge success of that movie to that degree.
Well, wasn't there a two and a three?
There were sequels, so maybe.
But I don't know.
I
can't imagine that.
Does
he
seem
made
like the kind of guy who doesn't have to work?
No, he doesn't.
I would think he would.
Would have to work.
No, wouldn't have to work.
Oh, really?
I feel like he made a ton of money, and he still, like, he puts all of his energies into his artistic kind of endeavors, which aren't making him money.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe he's set for a little while. Maybe.
Good for him.
But I don't know, though.
Good choice on Big Bang as well.
Really? Good choice on that. And as if 2018 hasn't been a rocky enough time for old Facebook, the social network has seen not only a steep decline in monthly visits, they've dropped from 8.5 billion users to 4.7 billion in the last 2 years. Which,
wow.
That's a lot.
That's significant.
In 2 years.
Did you say 8 to 4?
8.5 to 4.7.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Yeah, that's unreal. And for the first time, it looks like they're going to get passed by YouTube.
Sure.
So YouTube is going to lap them. So it's going to be the second highest clicked on site. So it will now be Google, which also owns YouTube.
Sure.
So they're sitting pretty.
They're doing all right.
Then YouTube, and then Facebook. But the reason that Facebook isn't having such a sharp decline is because they also have WhatsApp and Instagram
right.
under their umbrella. By the way, Instagram's rise, the app now boasts 1 billion active users and 400 million daily users for its stories feature.
Wow.
That's insane.
That's
Facebook's got to be like, thank God we bought that. By the way, he bought that for $1 billion in 2012, bought
mm-hmm.
Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's now valued at 100 times that.
Wow.
That's a pretty good investment.
I would say so.
Zuck.
Yeah, he knows how to make money.
He does.
It's like Bean. He and Bean.
Yeah. You consulted him, right, on the Twitter stock that you bought?
My Twitter stock is at 31 now, by the way.
And where did you buy that?
I think I bought it around 44, maybe.
I was
briefly above water, but that was weeks ago.
And what
sell?
Is that when you sell? When
right?
That
when it goes down, you sell.
I'm not positive that's correct. I want to source
sell low, buy high. Everyone knows that.
Oh, that does sound familiar. Right. It does sound familiar. Take it from me. I know math. Some birthdays for you. We've got Antonio Banderas, Angie Harmon, Justin Theroux. What if I did all those accents for these names?
Yeah, it would drive us crazy.
Like when I used to watch the news as a kid, I'm Linda Alvarez.
Yeah, they do that a lot.
Like, really? Because I think you're Linda Alvarez, but she is Linda Alvarez. What happened to her? Let's do a deep dive.
I don't know.
And Michael Biv Bivens, Belle Biv DeVoe. Now you know. Also, new addition, right?
Right.
Sure. Yeah, that's what's happening.
Hey, big news, by the way, as K-Rock presents Death Cab for Cutie in the HD Radio sound space. You know, we got Bishop Briggs coming by later on today, and then all weekend long, we'll be hooking you up with tickets for Death Cab for Cutie. They're going to be here on Tuesday. Man, we're going to keep doing those shows down the hall until they tear this building down.
Which may be mid-performance. We don't know.
You never know.
I know. We're very close. There are men circling with hammers. So if you love Death Cab for Cutie like I do, you definitely want to be listening to K-Rock this weekend to win your way into the HD Radio sound space here at K-Rock this Tuesday. Hey, Jensen Karp.
Oh, hello.
What's going on, man?
I'm well. I'm happy to be back. I'm happy to bring something that I've been doing for quite some time to the Kevin and Bean Show.
It's time for
Get Up on This.
Get up. Get on up.
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 On this.
This has been your popular podcast for 162 episodes or something?
We've been doing it for almost 10 years.
Wow.
As you know, the podcast industry is a booming economic success.
Yes.
So I'm thrilled that I've been doing it for a decade.
Yeah, exactly. You certainly got whatever time and money you put into it back out of it.
Oh, absolutely. My parents are thrilled.
What's the concept of Get Up on This?
Well, the idea is that I have always throughout my life weirdly been on the pulse of things. Mm-hmm. I know early what music is going to break, or I know things that people may have missed that they should know more about.
Okay.
Things that haven't yet hit the mainstream, right. Or things that you just ignored for the wrong reason.
And you stay on the scene
I do.
A sex machine.
That's right. And crazy enough, although I'm a 38-year-old with a profession and a career,
mm-hmm.
if a kid drops a mixtape in Boise, Idaho,
I know about it.
I know what high school he goes to. It's a weird, strange OCD that I've taken on. And I've been very successful with it in the past. We were the first radio or podcast ever mentioned Chance the Rapper.
Is that right?
Yeah, wow. In 2010. And so those kind of things. We've had a rapper named Casey Veggies on the show when he was in high school. He's now signed to Jay-Z. We had Little Dicky on the show way before you guys ever saw him on YouTube. So we're very early on it. We do hip-hop.
That was Kevin's college nickname, by the way. A lot of people don't remember that. Aww. Little Dicky.
No, I mean,
sorry.
For a different reason.
You went Kanye money before anybody else did, too, I understand.
That's right. I was the first, when I was a rapper myself, I paid Kanye West his first check ever for a beat from a major label.
Wow.
Amazing.
Okay.
How about that?
I'm early on it, but it's not always hip-hop. Sometimes it's movies or apps or rock music or whatever it is. I'm getting you up on things.
Okay. Well, this is very exciting because we are always looking for new and exciting things. What have you brought us today, Jensen?
Here's the thing. We all hate millennials, right?
Sure.
They're all pretty stupid. And that I agree with you on.
Right.
That's very easy. So new music that comes out and they look stupid and they have tattoos on their face and they have no regard for the future. Oh, millennials. Well, here's the thing. There's a new record that came out last week from someone who we all kind of know from past music and on top of that, recent tabloid headlines.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
His name is Mac Miller. And in the past, right, he's from Pittsburgh. He's kind of, he's got tattoos on his hands and his face, and he's sort of a crazy drug addict, stoner type rapper.
Right. Is he the one who dated Ariana Grande for a while?
That's true. And here's the thing about him. He had released a record in 2010 called KIDS Kids. He had songs called like Nike's on My Feet, Senior Skip Day, Kool-Aid and Frozen Pizza. These are songs no one in this room should want to listen to.
Right.
Ever. Why would you want to listen to those?
Nope.
He was sort of a little bit of an Eminem clone in a way. No one wants to hear from Mac Miller.
Okay.
Right.
It's been 8 years.
Right.
This new record by Mac Miller called Swimming that came out last week is proof that not only Mac Miller makes good music, we should have hope for millennials in general. Because here's why. Mac Miller was carefree, stupid. Why would you want to listen to this music? He has developed and evolved into what I think is one of the most important new musicians of 2018.
What?
Whoa. He's working with some of Los Angeles' most important musicians. This new album is produced mostly by John Bryan. That's not a rapper. That's not a rap producer. That is, he does all of Paul Thomas Anderson's scores.
He's phenomenal.
He's a legit dude.
And Amy Mann, you know, these things are things that Kanye, early Kanye as well.
Can I say this? The reason I will not dismiss Mac Miller is because he works with Thundercat.
And now I'm going to get into that. So some of Los Angeles' best musicians like Thundercat, Damn Funk, Dev Hynes, who's Blood Orange, Steve Lacy. These guys aren't your hip-hop producers. These are guys who are musical and the soul movement in Los Angeles. And Mac Miller lived with them during the breakup of Ariana Grande, which I understand sounds like tabloid BS, but dude dated her for like 2 years. Yeah. They were in love. She breaks up with him. He gets a DUI. He starts to understand it's time to become sober and face breakup and heartbreak straight on, go to therapy, learn self-care. This album, from beginning to end, tells you his story.
I skipped right over that album. I saw that it existed.
And I would have also.
And I was like,
And I would have also.
Don't need it.
I would have also. I downloaded it purely because I was like, I'm going to listen to it. First time I listen to it, I go, that was very good. Second time I listen to it, I go, that's a genius record.
This is in the past week, right?
Yes,
okay, because I watched his NPR Little Desk.
And that's incredible.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's a good start to jump off at.
Okay.
This is not a singles record. We're going to play a couple of clips here.
All right.
But it is a full album to listen to because it is his journey that he's going through as a millennial who's opened up his mind and been like, I should stop being real stupid. And that's really what the album is. It faces sobriety. It faces love. It faces why he can't find his happiness in being such a rich, successful kid. All his dreams came true, but yet it's a nightmare.
Hmm. Okay, this is way too much foreplay. Give me some sex.
There you go. Well, let me just break one thing down.
Okay.
This is not a hip-hop record. A long time ago, K-Rock added an album that I was always surprised by, Atmosphere. He's a white rapper out of Minnesota.
Yeah,
and it was added for a little bit. It didn't necessarily take off. This is what you wish it was. This is not a rap record. Mm-hmm. This is almost more of a K-Rock record.
Is that right?
Yep. Mm.
Wow.
Yep.
So what clips do we have?
We're going to play, I think, Jet Fuel first.
Okay.
So these songs, again, are just a look into the journey in which he's been on for this record. Out of the DUI, out of the sobriety, you'll hear a changed millennial.
I let it slide this time. Like 25 years I've been high and no less. Yes. Bitch, I know I don't guess. Rather glow, I won't stress. Better say that shit with your chest. Okay, well, I'ma be here for a while. Longer than I did expect to. I was out of town getting lost till I was rescued. Now I'm in the clouds, come down when I run out of jet fuel. Yeah.
All right. I like it so far.
It's a metaphor. I don't think he really had jet fuel.
What?
Oh, are you sure?
Well, I don't know. Elon Musk or whatever. I mean, things could happen in this world. But I think he's saying he's running out of fuel.
Got it.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, gotcha.
Next song is What's the Use? There's a very hidden, even weirder, like the way John Bryan hides things. Snoop Dogg, you wouldn't even know he's on the song. He's a weird ad-lib in the deep, deep background. This is a very weird album.
That's awesome.
That's
by
just
the way.
Snoop going, ooh.
That's him?
Yeah, he never says like ooh wee. He never does anything.
Even bring ooh wee.
No, he doesn't rap. He just hums, and that's a feature.
Interesting.
Yeah, that just happened.
Wow, that's a great song.
Now this next one, Ladders, produced fully by John Bryan. We're getting more into the more philosophical side of Mac Miller. Those are a little dancier. This is a little tougher.
How would I
This is musical. That's the thing.
Yeah, that was a horn section.
Yeah, no,
that's amazing.
They can play that on the wave, you guys.
I'm telling you, if there's anything you could depend on Jensen Karp for, it's music from the wave. And so, like, here's the thing. It's like, this is all the best musicians in L.A., all working together with John Bryan. And I mean,
they believe in him.
It's
so there, that's
and they
something.
Should. Yeah. This is 2009. This is, to me, the most emotional record as far as him learning. It's no longer time for him. 2009, he was on, I've read he was on the Lean, the codeine and stuff.
Right.
He's learned it's no longer that. He has to become a real person.
She don't cry no more. Tell me that I get her high, cause the angel's supposed to fly. I ain't asking why no more. Oh no, I take it if it's mine, I don't stay inside the lines. It ain't 2009 no more. Yeah, I know what's behind that door. Yeah, okay, you gotta jump in to swim. Well, the light was dim and this light was sin. Now every day I wake up and breathe. I don't have it all, but that's alright with me. Take it nice and easy, took a flight to see me. Send you back home with a light that's beaming.
Wow.
We got to get him a dog.
He does need a dog. Is Ariana Grande going to have Pete Davidson regrets now? That's my question for you, Jensen.
I mean, when someone gets 10 tattoos with your name on it in 2 months, I have a feeling regrets are one of those tattoos. But that's the thing. You're watching, this kid is watching someone he fell in love with now have this tabloid insanity. I mean, I make fun of millennials so much, but this feels heavy. Yeah. It feels like he actually
feels like it's meaningful.
Yeah, he's
like
growing
it.
Up, and you got to celebrate that as much as you do sort of the stupidity of most of music
right,
from
so
young kids.
Mac Miller is the artist. The album is called what? Swimming.
Swimming. It's his fifth album. You can get it anywhere. I also know that in 2016 he put out a record called The Divine Feminine, which I found a little boring, but it was at least showing the direction he's going. This is an incredible record.
I feel like we have gotten up on something here, guys.
Get up, get on up.
All right, where did the idea come from that we have better ideas than the people who are in charge running things?
I think Allie just had a complaint, and she said things will be different when I'm running them.
Yeah.
And we weren't aware that there was a timeline in place where you were going to be running things.
How dare you?
We assumed, of course.
According to you, if you are, in fact, one day given the job to run things, quote-unquote, you're going to make it a better place for us all to live.
Absolutely.
All right, what's going on?
Here's my biggest complaint.
This is your biggest complaint out of all of them?
Well, it's pretty big, okay. And I had to deal with it again a weekend ago.
Okay.
When you go into the bathroom at an airport and you've got your carry-on luggage, you got to wheel it in, the door opens into the bathroom,
yes.
Which means you then have to kind of jimmy yourself in, kind of close the door a little bit so you can then move the bag a little more. Then at one point during all of this, you are crouched down next to the toilet trying to get your bag inside. God damn it, swing out.
The doors.
Swing out.
Why do the doors only swing in? That makes no sense.
I assume
and it does
it's
make it much more difficult.
People are idiots and they're just cruising by a bathroom and somebody opens the door into their face. Well, tough tease.
I think you're
right. An idiot.
I think you're right that you don't want people to hit other people in the bathroom. And I also think, remember, whoever builds those toilet stalls, mm-hmm. that's probably a universal size that goes lots of places, including bathrooms that are much smaller than the airport mm-hmm. bathroom, and they don't want it to swing out and hit the wall or close to it.
Doesn't seem like it would be that difficult to put ones that swing out
right.
and ones that swing in, or maybe both.
Or maybe both.
Just doesn't seem like it's that difficult.
Like
and if
a
it's
saloon.
A smaller, if it's, yeah, if it's a smaller place, okay, in only, but
it's,
try to do it. I agree.
It's so troubling.
It's really funny.
Especially as a woman.
Because you're sort of climbing up on top of things and holding on to the side of
the
stall.
And then, God forbid, once you're finally done and you just want to get out of the bathroom, it's spraying up on you and all you want to do is get out of there and you've got to shimmy again trying to open the door. It's... God damn it.
So you're in charge. They put the crown on your head.
Yes.
And they say, all right, what's your first declaration?
Mm-hmm.
And you say, we're going to do something about these airport restroom bathrooms.
And you're welcome.
I'm in.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Although I find it much funnier than you do. It is ridiculous.
It's awful.
To try and get your bag in there and then go to the bathroom and then get your bag back out.
I honestly say, and I've been to lots of airports and had to lug my bag in there, too. It's never even occurred to me, and it's never seemed like a problem for me.
Interesting.
Mm. Mm.
But maybe I'm just not paying attention.
He's
maybe
big bathroom.
So much
He's
easier the other
bathroom.
Way.
Right.
And let's be honest, Bean, just because it doesn't affect you doesn't mean it doesn't affect millions. Check your privilege.
All right, Kevin, you have often said that you would be a great president. Would you also be a great ruler?
Of course. When
a
I'm in charge.
Emperor.
When I'm an emperor, whatever they have here in this system.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's what I'm going to change. If this happened to me the other day, there was me getting ready to turn right, and there were about three cars behind me.
Right.
Now, as far as I'm concerned, the person in the front has to regard the fact that there's three behind them and turn as fast as you possibly get out of the way.
Right.
And I was sitting there, and a guy was in the crosswalk. Mm. And what normally happens is whoever's in the crosswalk looks and sees if there's somebody turning, and then they slow the F down.
Oh, no, they got
never,
a hot foot it.
They never
got a hot
hurry
foot
it up. They don't.
They do the opposite.
Yes.
They slow it down. They take their time.
Yes.
They rock bottom you. They eyeball you. They go, you can't go because I'm in a crosswalk.
Right.
F you.
Yeah.
The other day I had a guy that looked and saw that I was ready to turn, and he jogged.
Oh.
I was like, this is a miracle.
Yes.
So that should be the law, is that you run across crosswalks. Run.
Oh. Okay.
Right?
If somebody doesn't, if somebody is moving too slowly,
they get a moving,
liking,
they get a ticket.
Or do you get to just step on the gas?
You just get to go through the intersection.
I'll work that out. I'm not positive
about
that.
Don't you feel like that would be the incentive people would know to hustle if they knew that if they knew that car plus pedestrian equals car?
I mean, that dude just looked and he saw somebody was waiting and jogged, and I was like, that's so refreshing.
Yeah.
I can honestly
say, that's the change I would make.
Okay.
I can honestly say that I am a considerate pedestrian, especially in New Orleans where nobody stops for pedestrians.
Well, maybe that's the thing. Maybe you're right.
You do learn to get across the street as fast as possible, or you are going to get hit because they just don't care here.
It's Frogger there.
It's Frogger. All right, little Chip, if you ruled the world. Oh, Allie, how about a little If I Ruled the World before this?
If I ruled the world, imagine that. I'd free all my sons. I love them, baby. Black diamonds and pearls. Would it be if we could be behind? We both shine. Rule the world. That's
thank
all
you,
I
lady.
Sort of ran out, but that was cool.
I appreciate it. All right, Chip, what's your great idea? And then we're going to take your calls, by the way, from the Kevin and Bean listeners. You get to make one change to make the world a better place. If you're in charge, what are you going to do to make it better? 1-800-520-1067. That's our number to call or text. All right, Chip, you're up.
All right, so you mentioned little, and mine's not altruistic either. Allie, this is for you, me, and Christine.
Okay.
Little short section at concerts. I'm not saying the entire front. Tall people should have an opportunity to be close to.
Absolutely.
But just one goddamn section.
Agree.
And I've been to shows all, you know, I go to tons of shows and I have friends who come with me and think, you know, I post on Twitter or Facebook and like people like 6'10" happened to always stroll in front of me. And my friend thought I was joking.
No.
We went to, it must have been, I think it was Green Day, the Rose Bowl. Mm-hmm. In the pit section, within 2 seconds of standing there, goddamn 6-foot-tall person stands up front of me, and he turns to me and goes, that's real. I'm like, yeah. I'm like,
yeah.
Like I said,
it's
don't
like
want,
a magnet.
Yeah, and like I said, I don't want to take the whole front section because other people who are tall and stuff, like, they want to be close. I'm like, but just one section where I can watch a goddamn show without a head in my way.
I agree.
So, like, 5'5 and under can only sit over here.
Let's do 5'4.
5'4, yeah. That's fucking crazy.
5'5 is super tall to me.
I'm 5'2, 5'5 is still no bueno.
Yes.
Okay.
But, yeah, just one little section.
I agree. I support it.
Doesn't seem like too much to ask.
No,
right?
Agree.
Understood. All right, here's mine.
I step in front of Chip every single time I can.
Yes, you do.
Because you're a dick.
Yes, B, sorry.
Here's mine. And mine, like Kevin's, is also traffic-related, and I have a great deal of evidence, a great deal of history on my side that this is, in fact, an outstanding idea that, for whatever reason, has just not made it to America like it has in the rest of the world.
All right.
Now, I know your initial reaction is going to be, no, but I'm telling you, if we had them here, traffic would flow so much better, and ladies and gentlemen, they are called roundabouts.
We have
roundabouts. They have very few here compared
to all over the East Coast, Massachusetts. Yeah, rotaries.
Yeah, you know what? Who doesn't have them? Freaking California! All right.
Yeah.
Roundabouts, guys, I know you don't like them because you haven't driven in them and they look scary. They're not. They're super easy to navigate, and what they replace is intersections where you have to stop, sometimes for no reason because there's nobody coming in the other direction. It replaces red lights. If you have a roundabout, you just keep driving and you just go around the circle and you get off on your exit. And if you miss it, stay in the circle and go around and catch it next time. It's not hard.
Bean, I support you. I love a good roundabout, a rotary. However, the learning curve for that is going to be a big problem. Especially, I mean, here it rains and people forget how to drive. A roundabout, yes. People are dying.
People are going to learn how to use roundabouts.
Look, I've been to Rome where you have roundabouts with 14 lanes of traffic and nobody hits it. But you can figure out how to do it. And by the way, let me add as a PS to the roundabout, something else they do in other countries around the world that makes a tremendous amount of sense. And that is a yellow light before the light turns green. We have a yellow light here before it turns red. What you need is the yellow light before it turns green so that people aren't sitting around at the intersection not paying attention and not realizing that the light has changed.
Don't you think they'd still just be thinking, oh, there's a yellow?
It gives them a heads up that the light is getting ready to turn green and they can actually prepare to put down their text and step on the gas.
Wow.
I'm telling you, both of those things make driving in Europe so much easier than driving
in
America.
Why don't you just move to Europe then?
Yeah.
You don't like being in America.
Communist, get out.
Because these are things that have been proven effective in other countries, but for whatever reason, we don't adopt them here, and it would work.
Could I just add flashing yellows and flashing reds overnight?
I agree.
You come to a stop. Yeah. If there's no one there, move right on.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We need to rule the world.
I think it's a good idea, you guys. All right. 1-800.
Right?
Oh, there it is. How about that? 1-800-520-1067. Everybody, Rochelle and Jasmine and James and all the rest, you guys are have some great suggestions, and we're going to talk to you and take your calls next, right after this on K-Rock.
All right, just ahead of Portugal the Man, let's say good morning to Tony and Corona. Hi, Tony.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Bong bong.
To you as well.
To you as well. So you rule the world. Somebody makes Tony the king. What's the one thing you do that improves the world?
Everybody hates change. So what you do is then you include tax with whatever it is that you're going to buy. So if something says it's, you know, if it's 99 cents, then you pay 99 cents. Really, it's going to cost 70-something cents plus whatever the tax is. And you just make it out to where if I go into a store and something says a dollar, then it's a dollar. If I go somewhere else and says $2, it's $2. $5, $20. Everything should always have tax included because everybody hates change.
But hating change, wouldn't I round up or round down with that tax included too?
Yeah, because if tax included means it's $1.23, you're getting change.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So what you would want to do is make everything a price. That way it can always equal out to an even number that you have inside of your pocket. So like I said, if something equals $5 and that's what you pay, they should include the tax. That way it's easier to pay for
things. I like where you're going. I like the fact that the tax is included, that you know how much it's going to be. But your argument does fall apart if everything has to be even by a dollar amount, because there's lots of room in between $5 and $6. You know what I'm saying? But I think you're on the right track for sure.
You don't get to rule the world yet, Tony. But work on it.
Sit tight.
Work on it and get back to us.
Exactly. 1-800-520-1067. What's your genius idea to make the world a better place? We'll take your calls next after Portugal the Man on K-Rock. We are talking about ways that you would improve the world if you were able to change one thing at 1-800-520-1067. By the way, Greg Fitzsimmons, you're driving down to K-Rock right now. We're going to expect an answer from you, too, on what great idea you've got. First, though, let's go to line six, please. Let's talk to Allie. She's in Moore Park. She's what we refer to as the good Allie. Hey, Allie.
Wow, hurtful.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
We are good, thank you. What's going to happen?
What do you have for us? Save the world for us.
Well, instead of mandatory military service, I think we should have mandatory customer service, where you have to work in a customer service job.
we don't have mandatory military service, right?
No, I know we don't, but other places do.
Right, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, a lot of countries do, for
all right.
Sure. So
customer service for 2 years.
Hmm.
That's a long time, man.
Really rude to their servers.
I mean, that makes a lot of sense. Look, that's something that is not going to be sexy. It's not really going to get you votes.
Yeah.
But I think it would be great.
But let me ask you this, because you're addressing a big problem. I get it. But shouldn't we also be social workers for 2 years? Shouldn't we also be teachers for 2 years? I mean, firefighters for 2 years. There are a lot of occupations we don't appreciate properly.
Anything
any sort of service like that where you are doing something for other people, if you are working job that most people wouldn't want to do.
All right, I got you.
Yeah, I don't want to do that job. I'm not voting for you, Allie.
Oh, that's me.
You're no longer the good one.
Right. Allie, you win again. All right, let's go to Juliet Orange, line 7. She has a fantastic idea that will save all of us 30 seconds every time we go to Las Vegas.
Hey, Julie.
30 seconds? What are you talking about?
What's your idea?
My idea is to get rid of those ridiculous agricultural checkpoint booths at the right before Barstow when you come into over the hill, whatever, on the way home from Vegas. Because you've already gone through state line, which is terrible if you're coming home on Sunday, and you're like, okay, I'm almost home, and now you hit those booths and the line backs up again. Not to mention, every time I see those people, I'm like, cha-ching, dollar signs. How much are we paying for those people to just wave you through the line? It seems ridiculous.
And that's what they do. They either wave you through the line, or if they make you stop, they say, you have any fruits or vegetables? And you say, nope, and you keep driving.
Right. Yeah.
It's a giant wait. Like, what criminal mastermind do they think they're going to catch by having that dude in a booth in the desert? Honestly.
Exactly.
We're with you, Julie.
Okay. Sounds like Julie gets our vote. It doesn't make any sense at all.
Let's go to Martin in Sherman Oaks. Hi, Martin.
Hey, good morning, party people.
Good
What's
morning.
Up, Allie?
Hey.
So what's going to happen when you rule the world?
When I rule the world, it's not my idea. I've seen it done in other parts of the world, and I think it's brilliant. And here in L.A., we would appreciate. What they do is they put up these almost colored plastic barricades around car accidents. Mm-hmm. They kind of, hide the scene away from the rubberneckers. And that supposedly eliminates traffic and, that flow, that stop-go
issue
that we have here on the 405 and the 101 all day long.
I have seen that as well.
I love that.
It's a great idea because looky-loos are among the worst people in the world.
Agree.
Yep.
They really.
I'm not sure they're the worst people in the world.
They're the worst people in the world. There's no reason to slow down and look at a car on the side of the road ever. Ever.
What if it's interesting, B?
Nope.
Okay.
Never. The only exception is pay enough attention so that you know if there's a fire that's in your lane. If there's not, just drive on by as fast as you can.
Okay.
Speaking of being out on the road, and I knew a lot of our solutions here from our listeners would involve driving because that's heavy on our mind. Let's go to James in Valencia, who is dead wrong on line 4. Dead wrong.
Hey, James. You're dead wrong, apparently.
I'm not dead wrong.
All right. What's your idea?
We commute every day. I think everyone else commutes somewhere. My idea is to make it totally illegal to drive slow in the left lane.
Love it.
Left lane campers are the absolute worst.
Love it more.
Terrible idea.
Fantastic idea.
Disastrous.
Disastrous. Move over to the right.
Right.
Those people should move over to the right.
Right.
But when they don't, when they're in the left lane, James, tell me what happens next. Okay, now it's illegal. Now somebody's driving too slowly in the left lane. Tell me what happens.
They get pulled over.
Oh, really?
They get a ticket. Yes.
Made it legal to pit maneuver them and get them out of the left lane.
tell me how that doesn't make traffic so much worse, even if you had the resources for police officers to pull over all the people who drive slowly in the left lane. Tell me how that doesn't create even worse traffic on that road.
It will in the short term, but over time it becomes a deterrent.
Because people that are driving slow won't be
in the left lane. Oh, no, I can't be in this lane.
I have no solution for that, but I hate it so much. That
agreed.
It's the most passive-aggressive thing that I could think of.
I hate it so much, too. Unfortunately, your solution is only going to add to the problem. I'm sorry.
Disagree, sir.
I mean, I like where your head's at, though. Thank you for the call.
Not the left lane.
We have so many more great calls, but we're out of time for today. We may have to revisit this another time. Look at the clock, you guys.
I know.
We're done.
I know.
Thank you, everybody. Great suggestion.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:55.
The very funny Greg Fitzsimmons joins us in studio coming up right after 8 o'clock. Don't forget, keep it 100 in about an hour or so because it's Friday. We'll help you pick the music we play. And Allie is here with another look at what's happening on this Friday morning.
Well, what's happening is on Fridays around this time, we like to talk about our That's My Jam playlist. And this is a playlist that we'll link to our socials at Kevin and Bean on Twitter as well as Facebook. And each week we pick a different song. We add it to the playlist. All you have to do, follow that playlist. That's my jam. And you have new music delivered to you every single week from members on The Kevin and Bean Show. And Jensen Karp was just in last hour, talked about Mac Miller for a new segment we're calling Get Up On This,
mm-hmm.
because that's what he's called
right.
his podcast for 10 years. So we decided just to add Mac Miller's Ladders to the playlist. So that's on there. You can look forward to that. But now, we'll go through the room. Kevin, what's on your choice?
Mine's a little different.
What's on your choice?
What's on my choice?
You heard me.
About a week ago, 8-Track, who's a DJ that sort of works hip-hop together with EDM,
mm-hmm.
he put out a song called DJ's Gotta Dance More, and it features a legendary New York house DJ called Todd Terry.
Okay.
Two first names, sort of bugs me.
Right.
But it's a cool song with a cool vibe, and mm-hmm. he is talking his way through the entire thing. And 8-Track put it out. It's the second one he put out this year. First he put out Ride For Me, and this one is called DJ's Gotta Dance More.
You gotta feel the funk and create your own style. You know why? It's for that good old house music.
It's pretty strong.
DJ's
that was
got
a very
dance
brief
more.
Clip.
Yeah,
that's
what it was.
It's awfully short, man. I think I got the gist of it.
Does Omar not like my choice so much?
That seemed very short.
It did.
Yeah.
I could have used more.
Okay.
Well, you can listen to it on Spotify. And it's great.
You're dance or die. I mean, that's your whole thing,
right? Exactly.
So it just makes sense that would be your song.
Thank you for noticing.
Yeah. Dance life. Still got that big tat on your stomach?
Sure, of course.
Yeah, cool. Bean, what's your song?
We've been playing a song for quite a while here on K-Rock by a Los Angeles bass band that's only been together for like a year and a half. I mean, talk about finding success fast. They are called Lovely the Band, and we play Broken a lot. But their whole album is real, real good, you guys. The album is out now called Finding It Hard to Smile, and the song that I have chosen from Lovely the Band is called Maybe I'm Afraid.
That song is awesome and three times as long as my clip.
I was going to say, he definitely hated your song.
Yeah, I think Omar's down with Lovely the Band.
That song's great.
That's great.
I feel like we're going to be hearing that at some point on K-Rock. And
I hope so.
Hear it early. Again, the band is called Lovely the Band.
Excellent. Well, my song comes from a woman out of Milan. She's now based in New York City. Her name is Rose Villain. I know nothing about her other than I heard this song and I'm like, this is a banger. And then I looked her up and the about section on her Instagram and Facebook, all it says is 10 middle fingers. And I'm like, I'm in. I now love her. It's amazing. But this song is all about you go through a rough breakup, then you start coming out of it. You're feeling more like yourself. And then you think, oh, if he was dead, I would be hosting that funeral party.
I'm sorry?
Kevin's like, wait, how did we just... You're coming out of the breakup. Things are good.
That went south quick.
No, I'm just saying. Okay. We've all thought about it. I will be the one hosting your funeral party. And this is Rose Villain with Funeral Party.
I'm gonna be a villain like I always wanted. Bad bitch like you always wanted. You know, not bringing me down. No, no, you're dead to me now. I'm the one to do what?
Sounds great,
funeral
too.
Party. I love it. It's just super fun.
A little something for everybody on this week's That's My Jam. And that 1 second Kevin song.
Right?
Yeah. I think they put the whole song on there.
Good.
Good. So you can listen to that. Why does Omar hate you?
I don't know.
That's real weird.
But
yeah.
The song's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Okay.
We
wouldn't know.
We wouldn't know. What we did here was pretty good.
Okay, good.
So go and find that at Kevin and Bean.
Mm-hmm.
On Twitter?
Yep.
On Facebook?
Yep.
It's the That's My Jam playlist. Good time. Some birthdays for you. Justin Throw, Antonio Banderas, Angie Harmon, Rosanna Arquette, and Michael Biv Bivens from Belle Biv DeVoe, a new edition. That's what's happening.
Greg Fitzsimmons, can you hear us?
Tommy, can you hear me?
There he is. How are you, boy?
I am really good right now, my boy.
What was that?
We're really on KKK in Alabama.
How are you, son? How are you, friend?
How are you, boy? Was weird.
It was odd.
We going hunting after this?
surprised me.
Wait, it surprised you as well?
It did.
How are you, boy?
I wasn't thinking. Look.
Right.
Now go get your shine box.
It wasn't my intention. Sometimes words just come out.
Right. Yes. Yeah, you can't think about them too much.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, that's what we do. We just start sentences.
Mm-hmm.
And it's radio, so you got to jump in or else one of you idiots is going to start talking.
Right, exactly.
I don't always know what I'm going to say.
Right.
But I know I got the floor now.
You do.
I wish somebody had jumped in and saved me from how you doing, boy.
That was bizarre.
Listen, before we move on and find out what's going on in your life and talk about your Irvine Improv shows next weekend, I want to ask you, if you were listening on the way in, we were having our listeners call in with their suggestions on how they would improve things if they ruled the world. Now,
yes.
You're a smart guy who thinks about a lot of things. I'm sure you have some suggestions on how we can make the world a better place.
Oh, I got some thoughts.
You
okay,
do?
Good.
I got some thoughts. Yeah. I was listening, and I have two, because one happened literally as I was listening. A guy hit his horn, which it's necessary sometimes.
Agreed.
It's safe sometimes to keep people moving, keep them aware. But there's a horn sequence that's appropriate to each situation.
Correct.
And the normal appropriate honk is, it's literally the least you can hit your horn.
Just touch it and get off.
Just touch it. We get it. We heard it. But the riding the horn or the triple hit,
sure,
unnecessary. So I would change the world. I would give everybody, you get a bag and it has a pound of air in it per year. Because they're air horns, right?
Okay.
And when your bag runs out, you can't honk anymore that year.
Oh,
I see. So every year you get a new bag.
You get a fresh bag. You go get your oil changed, and they put new air in your bag, and you get to start. Now, you can have a field day for a month. You can go crazy. Ride it out. You know, honk at girls on the street, whatever you do. And then you got to be quiet the rest of the year.
Mm. Okay.
What about rollover air?
Oh, good point.
What if I don't use all of it? Can I roll it over to the next year?
I like that.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think you want to have an incentive to say,
right,
you know, one day I might die. I might get into a head-on-head collision and fall forward on the horn, and you want the long final scene of your life.
I think the lean on the horn is almost emergencies only. Here's where I would use lean on the horn. If somebody is on a railroad track and doesn't know it and there's a train coming, I think you have to hit that horn as hard as possible, as long and as loud as possible to make sure they know. If I accidentally, and I've done this, by the way, turn down a one-way street, I want those people to honk the hell out of their horn to let me know this is not right. You're
I think
doing
in those situations,
dangerous.
And you make a good point, and you are an intelligent man, is you can petition for 6 ounces of air back.
I see.
Okay.
Because it was a super necessary thing.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Here's my second change the world.
All right.
Okay.
I have kids, and they go to a good public school here in Los Angeles. And I'm a big believer in that. And if you send your kids to private school, you're a douche. Because
depending on the area you're in.
No.
There's some places that have pretty crappy public
schools.
Then
dig in. Get involved, get on the PTA, fundraise, organize parent conferences with – just make it a better school. That's your lot in life. You move to that neighborhood, make it better.
Very controversial, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, everybody needs to stop draining the best assets out of society and privatizing them into these schools where it's all rich kids. Everybody's parent is at every parent-teacher conference. Every kid has got tutoring on the side. Those kids should be mixed into the general population of other schools and raise everybody up. But that's not my change the world.
Wow, that was a long way to go for the one that's not your change the world. Okay, go ahead.
You tip your barista. Right? You throw that guy. Valet parking. You tip him. How about your teacher? What about a teacher that is buying supplies for the kids in your school out of their own pocket, that is staying late, that is visiting people's homes because the child is in trouble? Tip your teacher. Your kid brings home an A?
USA!
There we go.
USA!
Right?
USA!
I agree.
Yes.
That's a great idea.
And not just the teachers. Social servants in general. You get pulled over by the cop. Maybe you've had a few drinks. throw that guy $100 as you hand him your license.
I'm not positive that's the best idea.
Different.
I think that's very effective. I think it's a great idea. I'm not positive that's when you want to give him a tip.
Greg Fitzsimmons, as you know, is a very popular actor and writer and radio host and podcaster and stand-up comedian. He's going to be at the Irvine Improv for not this weekend, but next for 5 big shows. Tickets on sale now, irvineimprov.com. Just $20 for Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'm very concerned about something I saw online yesterday,
oh,
Greg,
boy.
That I'm hoping you will edify. Mm. And that is, you were on with, I regret I did not have time to listen to the episode, but you were on with the great Allison Rosen the other day.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And she said in her social media post about your appearance that you were talking about the hellish few months you've had.
I listened to it. All I
has
say
Greg
is,
had a hellish few months, Allie? Should I be concerned?
He might cry today. And all we have to say is, they're there. And everything's fine. That's the response.
No. God, that's what I needed. I got a hug on the way in where we had ear suction.
Right.
Your ear plugged itself
it
to
did.
My cheek.
It was tender.
And it made
beautiful.
And it made a pop sound as you withdrew.
Yeah.
Wow.
Whoa.
Jeez.
But I'm concerned. What's happening? You come in and you seem like you're in a good mood and you're happy and your usual bubbly self.
I'm Irish. You know what? We can smile and joke our way through that. You ever been to an Irish wake? They're like the greatest party in town. Now, it's been rough. Well, I was in New York the last 3.5 months. I'm a writer producer on Crashing.
Which is a wonderful show, by
Thank
the way.
Thank you.
Love that show.
Wonderful show.
Glad you like it. So I was away, and as I was away, first my wife's dad died.
Oh, no.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So she had to go through that on her own. Then she had an emergency appendectomy that she had to deal with 2 kids.
Mm.
And then we had...
No part of you said, hey, Pete, I got to step away for a couple of weeks and get home and take care of some business?
Even a couple of days?
No. No, when I say I was there for 3.5 months, I flew home most weekends.
Okay.
And but, you know, with the dad being gone, you really want to be there for, like you said, a couple weeks straight.
Right,
And
right,
so
right.
now I have to... and there was a couple other issues with...
Just life coming at you.
I had a hemorrhoid. It doesn't sound like that big a deal. But
anything else happen that we can talk about?
Well, I was in the bathroom, I got some of the ointment.
We don't.
And I'm applying.
We got to take a break.
No, go on.
And my wife walks into the bathroom without knocking, and I've got my pants around my ankles, and my finger is inserted. And she just went, Jesus Christ, and turned around and walked out. Not like... What are you doing, or how are you?
Are
just
you okay?
Like, oh,
you
this
help?
Is what you've been doing for 19 years.
Which of those 3 things that you just mentioned was the worst, do you think?
Oh, obviously the humiliation of the insertion of the
penis. Of course,
sure.
Worse than the final one of that.
Okay. Wow. I wish I was that flexible.
Is playing the Irvine Improv next weekend. Get your tickets online now. Quick break. Back with Greg in a moment. I'm just saying, I'm not sure that's a comedy direction to take the interview, Greg.
Oh, as opposed to, Greg, I hear the last 3 months of your life have been a living hell.
Yeah, but I didn't know that you had actual death in your family and health problems and
what
hemorrhoids.
What did you think hell meant?
Yeah.
Hell is not just mildly annoying.
Hell is for children.
Thank you, Pat. Appreciate that. What do you want to talk about, Greg Fitzsimmons?
Oh, God, there's so much. There's so much.
Mm-hmm.
Well, her dad died. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Okay, great.
We went to the funeral, and they went with the open casket, which to me is like, why do we want to see the corpse? Let's all have a glass of wine and some cheese and look at a dead body. It's such a... And then somebody goes, well, he looks great. It's like, no, he doesn't. He looks dead. His cheeks are hollow. He's got makeup on. He would be mortified.
Yeah.
But isn't the thought for some people, and everybody grieves differently, but the thought is it becomes real that this person is the person and he really is dead and you're putting him in a box and you're saying goodbye. Isn't that what's hoped for in those decisions?
Is that you need to
see
it to get your head around it?
Maybe. I think when I die, I want an open casket, but don't put my body in it. Just bake a giant sheet cake and put my face in the icing.
Oh.
And then you kneel down, you cut a slice.
Nice.
And then you tell a fun story while you eat my ear or my nose.
I love it.
That sounds really fun.
I hope I'm invited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I hope it's soon.
I said that out loud?
Greg, now, there was a national story about 3 weeks ago, maybe you saw it, of a, and I guess this is a trend that's happening now, where instead of the open casket, they pose the body in a position that the person would have enjoyed in life. For instance, this funeral this funeral that was in New Orleans was a young, it was just like 3 weeks ago. You can look it up. He was a young man, and they put him in like his Saints jersey, and they put him in a recliner, and he had a place, you know, a PlayStation, and he had his hands propped in a position where it looked like he was playing video games, and they kind of recreated his living room life. And when you walked into the church for the service, he was up there on the stage, and they did the whole service with the guy sitting playing video games.
My wife would oversee it, and I would be standing, pants around my ankles, finger in my butt. I don't trust that wouldn't happen.
Well, that's how I'm going to remember you. I know that. Now, are you the kind of guy, forgive me if this is a stupid question, because you see the humor in everything. I hear what you're saying about the casket. That's funny. But can you stop yourself from wise-ass remarks when you're at a funeral? Like, is there some part of you that needs to break the tension with comedy?
Well, first of all, I am a huge crier. I cry. If I even have a moment with somebody that's tender and I tell them how I feel about them, tears start. I don't know what it is. Like, I feel like I wish there would, like, so at the funeral, I was crying. My wife wasn't crying. Nobody in her family, because, you know, he was 83.
Right.
And as somebody actually said, well, 83, he lived a full life. And I was like, is that the number? Is that the under over on full life 83? Like, because to me,
so you're doing the opposite of making people laugh.
Well,
you're attacking.
Right. Well, no, I just feel like, what did you do during those 83 years? That's what a full life is. Like, did you ever have a three-way? Did you do cocaine? Mm-hmm. Did you ever have to hire a defense attorney?
Okay.
Then you didn't live a full life.
Yeah.
And so I cry like a baby, and then I'm really good at the I am hired. I've been asked to speak at people's funerals that I didn't even know that well.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Somebody just assumed you would give a good speech.
Yeah, right? I tell good stories. I make everybody laugh. And then people treat me like a rock star afterwards. I did one recently. There was like 400 people there. I was the only speaker. And I didn't know the guy that well. And I crushed.
What a crazy world that is.
Yeah.
Can our listeners hire you out for funerals in their family?
You're crushing in the funeral circuit.
Right, I'll just give you like bullet points.
You give me some bullet points.
Okay.
I know you get there early and you schmooze a little bit.
All right.
People are drinking. They hand you their best stories about that guy.
So true.
You cull together the best two or three.
Yes.
You go up, and I spike the mic when I'm done.
You got it.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Did you go to Gary Shandling's funeral?
I did not.
Okay, because I watched that one on television.
That was amazing.
The best funeral I'd ever seen.
Kevin Nealon was the best.
He was great.
I don't have that category of the best funeral I've ever seen.
I mean, it was like a roast.
Yeah. Yeah, comedians have good funerals. We had a guy... this guy was a really good friend of mine. Jerry Red Wilson was his name. And he was this guy. He was like an Archie Bunker guy without being racist, but he was that type. He was from Queens. He was a school teacher who kind of found his way into comedy. And he was just bigger than life. And everybody loved him. And when he died, we went to the funeral. And after the funeral, we went to this little lunch place in Queens. And the father said to me, will you get up and say a few words? So I went up, told a couple funny stories about him. Dave Attell got up. Lewis Black got up.
Holy crap.
Patrice O'Neill got up. I think Greg Giraldo. And it was like people were just – all the grief was just pouring out as the laughs happened. And so we decided – the father said, can we do this every year? So the next year we did it at Caroline's. Same lineup. And then it was sold out so fast, we did it at Town Hall, which is like 1,800 seats. And we did that for 10 years.
And we
raised money for spinal meningitis. It was his foundation. I started with his fiance.
Wow.
And we raised like hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars for meningitis.
That's amazing, Greg.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is really
cool.
And
it always started with like, you know, videos of him. And it was all, you know, his friends
That's
and
so
family
bizarre.
Were sitting up front and... Yeah, his parents were so thankful to do this every year. Yeah, it was amazing.
I hate that two of the comedians in that group died also, though, in the interim. That's what's sad about that story.
Well, and Attell still runs one for Greg Giraldo every year. He does the same thing at a theater. I don't know what theater they do, but I think it might even be Town Hall.
I'm telling you, you walked out of here with a money-making idea, though, which is that our listeners need to start renting you out to do their funerals.
Yeah, and it wouldn't be a lot, depending on the person.
Yeah.
Depending on the person.
Yeah, if the person, if it's like a, if it's a 15-year-old that dies in a moped accident or one of those bird scooters in Venice.
Right.
You know, I'm going to do that for free.
Okay, good.
Because that's just fun for you?
Yeah. I'd like to book you now in advance for whenever mine is, Greg. Would you do mine?
Yeah, let's see how the rest of your life plays out.
Okay.
Because I can't have you suddenly wearing a MAGA hat. And then all of a sudden, I get to get up there and speak.
Give you some material.
Yeah.
So you don't want to vouch for my future decisions. I would be
proud to speak at your funeral. Sad.
Greg Fitzsimmons is playing the Irvine Improv for 5 shows next weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Tickets, $20, available at irvineimprov.com. 18 and up, please. Greg, before you go, we have a feature we called 60 Seconds with. Kevin is going to fire questions at you. Just give us the first answers that come to your mind, and we are on the clock.
You love these, right?
As of now.
What were you like in high school?
I was very rebellious. I did a lot of drugs, and I had sex with women. Never in a relationship, but a lot of one-night stands.
Wow. Dog kisses on the mouth, yes or no?
Absolutely not.
Have you ever been in a real fight?
Many.
Have you won them?
I've never lost.
Okay. Is there a movie that you finish watching every single time you come across it?
Did I finish watching?
That you will finish watching.
Oh, God, yeah, The Godfather.
Okay. What's a terrible TV show that you enjoy?
Oh, God. Pass. So many pass.
Twitter or Instagram?
Both.
What's the last thing you Googled?
Japanese hidden camera massage porn, hashtag lesbian.
Very specific.
That's so specific. I don't even know what to do with that.
I think what we do with this, we all immediately start Googling. Thank you, Greg. You're the best, man.
All right,
we love
thanks
you.
Thanks for having me. Love you, too.
Thank you, man.
Start thinking about what song you want to hear for Kevin Amin's Keep It 100. We do it around 9 a.m. every Friday morning, so we're giving you a heads up now. In just a few minutes, we'll ask you to start texting in your choice. First, though, how about a brand new Kevin Amin Internet Roundup?
Kevin Amin's Internet Roundup.
Yeah!
Internet Roundup.
Come on, y'all.
Internet Roundup.
Oh, watch me, baby.
Internet Roundup.
Check it out, y'all.
Internet Roundup.
Oh, watch me, baby.
Thug life.
Thug life indeed. Hey, Dave, King of Mexico, producer. How are you, sir?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
It's a very good batch of videos that we put up, all the best viral videos of the week, including, and this one wouldn't translate to the radio, but please watch it, especially you, Allie, poo spotting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was fantastic.
Somebody has edited together Ewan McGregor from Trainspotting and Ewan McGregor from the new Christopher Robin Winnie the Pooh movie, and it is seamless
how well they go together.
It's so good.
I want to see that movie so badly.
I do. Spotting. I want to see it as well. We do have something to spotlight for you here. I know that we have brought it up many times over the years on the show, but believe it or not, flat earthers still exist, you guys. People who refuse to believe that we live on a globe, all right? Here's one of them. I think you'll enjoy him.
Well, NASA were developed for the sole purpose of lying to us. Their only purpose is to perpetuate the globe lie. Every single story that is told by NASA has the subcontext that we live on a globe. The way they're faking things is with top-of-the-line, absolutely cutting-edge studio techniques like were used in the film Gravity. So they're using trapeze, they're on high wires, in order to fake us for as long as humanly possible. Well, that's a good comparison because the blockbuster movies bolster the NASA fakery. If you're watching Guardians of the Galaxy or Star Trek or Star Wars, the basis of that is that you are on a spinning globe. So the fact that Hollywood perpetuates this meme, this lie, this spinning globe lie, is the over-the-top suspension of disbelief. Whereas when NASA do it, they play their cards much more close to their chest. They always keep it nice and simple. So they're not going to be having Star Wars-type battles in space. They're just going to have a zero-G meal. It's much more downplayed.
I mean, he's got a point.
What if he's right?
I think he might be right,
oh
honestly.
Oh, my gosh.
Because that's just two of the answers. I think there's 10 altogether. And the longer he talks, the more I start to question the whole round Earth philosophy. I'll
right? Because NASA's lying to us all.
That's why they were created.
We've all been up in a plane, and you could see it straight. Right, guys?
Right. When you look out the window. Right. All right, Allie, I'm going to let you introduce your new favorite mom on vacation.
I would love to. She's a great mom. I don't have the information of who she is, but
well, just when you saw,
okay.
You sent me the video.
Oh my God. I did.
I grew
do
up
a
with
deep
these people.
Dive into her, but she is a comic that lives in New York, but she's obviously from Massachusetts,
yep.
And she plays a mom in this video, and it's just a mom in all these different scenarios on vacation, gets up to the lake or the beach, wherever they are, and all things that come out of mom's mouth.
It's 6:05 a.m. Let's go. We gotta go. It's vacation. I want to relax. Bring the mace spray. Someone saw a bear.
You gotta drink water.
Oh, sand's hot. Sand's hot. Careful on the sand. It's hot. Who's got the bug spray?
Weatherman's wrong again.
Let's go. Get out of the bathroom.
You paid a lot of money to be wrong.
Bring the mace spray. You gotta secure your things.
Look at that bathing suit. She doesn't leave much to the imagination.
You're up.
I don't care if it doesn't look cool for your Instagram. Wear this.
The sun's coming back out. Yeah, maybe the weatherman was right. Let's go play Scattergories. I saw a coyote here 4 years ago. You gotta be careful.
Wow, look at that. I wonder what he does for a living.
Why don't you go play a game with your grandma?
It's cold. Cold for July. I want something to eat.
Summer's flying by. You blink an eye, it's August.
Wow.
I will say this.
Wow.
Like, listening to that, God, it's painful. But I will say this. Back in Maine, I went up to Maine over the summer, and I'm walking down the street with my mom, and she goes, you know what we saw on this street 4 years ago? And I'm like, what? And she goes, Dan, what was that, a dingo? Was that a dingo, Dan? And I'm like, it wasn't a dingo in the road. And she's like, no, Dan, was it a dingo? He's like, yeah, Maureen, it was a dingo. And when she said, I saw a coyote 4 years ago in the street, I was like, oh my God, all moms from Massachusetts are the same.
Oh, and
they're annoying.
It's so bad.
Is your whole childhood, isn't it?
That's great.
Sounds great.
That's Kat's mom as well. Sure.
Makes me appreciate the Mexican mothers who just want to cook, and that's it. On vacation.
It's a very funny video. And finally, Jimmy Kimmel, who continues to do the best of all the late-night network television talk shows, has this latest edition of Meme Tweets, and this time it's all hip-hop stars, and he got them all, and a lot of people wrote a lot of really mean things to them.
Just when you think maybe the world is going to be okay, Big Sean comes out with a new piece of song.
Yo, DJ Khaled, focus on getting your fat ass in shape, guy. You can't inspire people to be great when you haven't seen your in years.
Imagine a pile of but then that pile of takes the That's what Trippy Red looks like.
Logic is the worst rapper of all time. Paula Deen can rap better.
Yeah, that's messed up.
Lil Wayne is what happens when you pour Four Loko on a gremlin.
Hey, what happened to T-Pain? There's still a massive market for music. Damn it. Music or not, I'm doing way better than you.
It's a great batch of videos.
Damn it.
Sorry, it's a great batch of videos. You can see them right now and every week at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Internet Roundup. Come on, y'all.
Internet Roundup.
Oh, watch me, baby.
106.7 KROQ is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:52.
Finally, this is going to be the week for Wreck of the Evan Fitzgerald. I can feel it.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Texture 100, we always say.
Yeah, nope.
Any song we've ever played, we play that on the Kevin and Bean Show.
We lie. All right, if that one comes across as 100, we're gonna lie and say it was 99. Oh, so close.
Dude, we run a reputable outfit here, all right? Texture 100 right now at 1-800-520-1067. It's our weekly feature, Keep It 100. Any K-Rock song you've ever heard, we will play it for you if we still have it in the system. Here's what you've asked for recently.
Nope.
Yes. We want to add your song to that medley, 1-800-520-1067. Any song you want us to play, if we've got it, we'll play it. You can text us right now. Allie is here with another look at what's happening here on a Friday.
I know it's a little odd, but also include your name. You're not used to including your name in texts because the other person knows who you are, but right. Include your name to us, please.
Excellent.
Yes.
This is interesting. I don't know where this is going to go, but new reports now claim that back-channel conversations are currently taking place between Marvel Studios and its parent company, Disney, to bring back Guardians of the Galaxy franchise director James Gunn. Sources claim that Marvel is trying to persuade Disney to explore a compromise that would bring him back into the fold for Guardians 3, something that clearly would benefit the franchise, as well as, you know, anyone watching the movie.
That'll make the actors happy, I know that.
Yeah, and this, of course, all comes in the wake of every single actor in that movie coming out in support of him, saying, listen, we don't agree with the tweets that he sent a decade ago that he has apologized for repeatedly over the years that somehow was fine until this, you know, this little campaign to get him ousted started.
Well, that's the thing. Like, what else could he have done besides basically burn his past down and say, I'm not that person anymore, before they ever hired him? He said, look, I know I was a douchebag, and I'm sorry, and I was wrong, and I won't do it anymore. And he hasn't.
Right. Here's the thing, though. It's not like he's in any danger of being blacklisted by Hollywood, because by all accounts, he has been given his pick of major projects.
Everybody else is
everyone's like,
lining,
you know,
up
what?
For him.
I can't believe they did this to you. This is insane. How about this project, James Gunn? So I'm sure he's wading through quite a bit. But if Disney did say, listen, it was knee-jerk, we thought about it, we made a mistake, we've compromised, we can't let anything like this happen again, obviously, which it hasn't since the first, second, third, fourth time he's apologized years ago.
Right.
I think that would maybe be a smart move.
But I do so. I hope that's how it ends up. Yeah. I really do. Look, absolutely. There are a lot of people who do bad things who should be punished for it. Mm-hmm. This is not one of those.
Yeah, we keep giving those dudes movie roles and all sorts of stuff. Directing roles.
Sure.
Producing roles.
Right.
Head of company roles.
Yes.
Right. Sourdough roles. What? Moving on. Amy Poehler was at the 2018 Television's Critics Association press tour talking about how she's pretty busy right now. She's hosting Making It on NBC with her fellow alum from Parks and Rec, Nick Offerman. She's got a Netflix film called Wine Country coming out. She's executive producing NBC's new comedy, I Feel Bad. However, like everything, people want to chat reboot. Would you ever be interested in coming back for some more Parks and Recreation? And she said this. This is her quote. I'm avail. I'm tech avail. So she's technically available, is what she's saying. And then she said, oh, God, I have no idea. Everybody has my number. It's kind of common knowledge. But we all have a text chain, and we talk to each other most every day. So I think everybody would be excited to do some version of it. And then she added, hopefully on ice, which I'm in. If they want to do it on ice, I don't care. I just need that cast back together because they were damn magical.
Agreed.
I loved it. I loved it so much. So, Amy, I know you're busy. You've got a lot going on. But let's see if we can make it happen. Right?
But minus Chevy Chase, right?
Huh? He was on Community.
Oh, Community, my bad.
Yeah. So probably definitely.
Okay.
Minus.
So
different. Different show.
So not the same?
Not the same.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
I love Amy and I love Andy on that show, but I really love Ron Swanson. I need some Ron Swanson back in my life.
Well, he'd have to.
Yeah.
And I bet NBC would be like, listen, we're taking away Making It and you can't woodwork again. And Nick Offerman would be like, I'll do it. Because he's not giving up woodworking.
Of course not.
Right?
Yeah, he builds his own canoes.
Oh, he's such a dude. Right, him and Megan Mullally just living my best life.
Yeah.
Love those two so very much. Well, you're pretty lucky if you're one of six schools in South Carolina that's going to have a half day. And this is all early. Classes are getting out early thanks to Jay-Z and Beyonce coming to town for their tour.
What?
This makes no sense to me, but they will all have a half day on August 21st as the schools are expecting heavy traffic from the Columbia concert, which is being held at the University of South Carolina's football stadium. What time are people getting to these shows?
Good question.
A half day.
I would think it'd be long after kids are sent home from school.
That's what I'm saying. A spokesperson for the district said, "We're hoping that dismissing these schools early will reduce the likelihood that buses transporting those students home would be delayed by the concert traffic." That spokesperson for the district was like, "I'm going to the show.
Right.
I want to get a nap in, maybe pregame at home. Half day for the kiddies, right?"
Right.
They're not thinking about the kids
at all.
Buses.
No, no.
At all.
Kids are stupid.
And kids are stupid. I think that's the takeaway, right?
Exactly.
Some birthdays for you. Roseanne Arquette, Antonio Banderas, Justin Theroux, Michael Biv Bivens from Belle Biv DeVoe and New Edition. And that's what's happening.
I'm not going to lie. This is one of my very favorite times of the whole week on the Kevin and Bean Show. And it's not just because I know we're not going to be playing Evanescence for the next 3 minutes. It's because it's time for Keep It 100.
I got to keep it 100.
Keep it 100, baby.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
Keeping it 100.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
I'm going to keep it 100.
100.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
So the way it works is you text us any K-Rock song you've ever heard. If we have it, we'll play it. We had some great suggestions from our listeners today, including Todd in Hollywood looking for a little Where Is My Mind by the Pixies.
All right.
Couldn't have come at a better time this week with them just playing that sold-out show with Weezer a couple of nights ago. Javier wrote in for Space Hog in the Meantime.
That's all right.
Taking us back a few years.
That's good.
Unfortunately, those were 99 and 101. Caller 100 was Angel in Santa Fe Springs, who unfortunately did not pick up the phone when we called him back to bring him on the air. So playing the part of Angel today will be Beer Mug. Hey, Angel, how are you?
Hey, what's up, Kevin and Bean? How you fools doing?
Oh, no. Nope. No, he's not a mobster.
Oh, okay.
You don't know, man. You don't know.
You don't. Good point.
Angel, what's going on out in Santa Fe Springs this weekend?
Well, we got my highness coming over. We're going to drink a couple Coronas, and we're going to get the weekend going here. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. And how long have you been listening to the Kevin Bean Show, Angel?
Since 1990.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Long time
listener.
That's
okay,
surprising.
Fantastic. Well, we gave you the opportunity to pick any song K-Rock's ever played. Tell us which one you came up with and why.
Well, nothing gets my highness excited more than the Ting Tings, Shut Up and Let Me Go. It's a great song. It gets me moving. Let's get this Friday started off right.
And this gets your highness excited, does it, Angel?
Orale, way.
All right, here's your song. Thanks.
Keep it 100.
So, but the last time you woke, kissed my lips. Now shut up and let
on with the come on.
Right?
So Angel, when the guy we talked to did not sound like the kind of guy who would be into the Ting Tings.
Yeah. When we found out that we couldn't get a hold of Angel, Bean said, what do people do? Just call, text us and then throw their phones in the river?
Well, because he texted in the song, and then we got back to him like 2 minutes later and said, hey, we want you to come on the air with us. No answer.
But in your mind, we're all near a river?
Well, no, it's not that. I just don't understand how he could have been using his phone and then instantly lost it.
Or I mean, he could be unavailable. At work. He could be at work.
Yeah, but he just texted us,
right,
though.
But that doesn't mean he can talk to us.
That song was nominated, believe it or not, for the MTV Video Music Award of the Year. It lost that year to Britney Spears' Piece of Me. Allie, what year was Shut Up and Let Me Go by the Ting Tings, as suggested by Miguel?
2008.
Are correct.
Right.
It was recorded in 2007 and it was released in 2008. So you are absolutely right. That was a gold single and the biggest hit for the band in the United States. That is the Ting Tings, and that's the song for this week's Keep It 100. We'll do it again next Friday on K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:44.
Allie McKay.
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about Kat Corbett being in the room. First of all, hello, Kat.
Didn't notice it got awfully sexy in here.
Yeah, it did. She's going to tell us some cool things that are happening in and around Los Angeles, not only tonight, but tomorrow night. She's got your weekend covered. But first, what do these bands and artists all have in common? Celine Dion, Britney Spears, Gwen Stefani, Blink 182, Backstreet Boys, The Who, J-Lo, Boys to Men, Lady Gaga.
I have a guess.
I'd like to hear it.
They all are in the Madame Tussauds Wax Museum.
That could be correct.
They all have residencies in Vegas.
Kevin Ryder.
Thank you.
Whoa.
That was
Kevin
good.
Kevin knew something.
I'm sorry. I'm shocked right now.
I know. Take a minute if you have to. Let it sink in. Yeah.
You asked a question, and the answer came from that side of the room.
And it was correct. And I mean, dear diary, today at 9:45.
You all go straight to hell.
Didn't help either.
Well, here's the thing. We can now add another band to that list.
Mm-hmm.
How would you like to see an iconic band celebrating 50 years together in the year 2019?
Hanson?
Celebrating, nope, 55-0. They're going to be doing a little Las Vegas residency in the spring, this band. They go by the name of Aerosmith.
What? Oh, interesting.
That's right?
I'd be interested in seeing them.
Yeah, we don't have any details yet, but apparently the full details should be coming on August 15th when Aerosmith performs on the Today Show. But I do enjoy this article that has to point this out. Despite having a collective age of 337, they're showing no signs of slowing down yet.
That's nice.
That's what hip replacements are for.
That is nice.
I just feel like you didn't need to say that. They've been together 50 years. We know they're not young.
Now, I am going to say something that may be controversial. I'd be interested in hearing your lady's opinion on this. Mm-hmm. I think that 90s Aerosmith is a B-, 70s Aerosmith is an A+.
That's tough, because Joe Perry was smoking hot in the 90s.
Okay, well, we're not just talking about who you want to sleep with. We're talking about the music.
Right. Focus, Allie.
Sorry,
I'm taking
bad.
The Toys in the Attic Rocks, you know, era Aerosmith as being some of the best music ever recorded. And I'm fine with Dude Looks Like a Lady and Angel, you know?
I'm the early, like, the Dream On and stuff is the stuff that's the money shot for me.
70s
Aerosmith.
Yeah, 70s Aerosmith is obviously the best, but I don't think in the 90s they were bad by any stretch of the imagination.
No, and that Diane Warren song, I mean, she wrote
I don't want to miss a thing is a horrible song.
Yeah, that's
song.
Their worst song, Kat. What's wrong
it's
with you?
It's a hit, though.
It's a terrible song.
It's number one song that sucked.
It's awful.
I'm just telling you the facts.
Beat it, kid. God. I mean, Kat. All right, moving along. Something that Kat can weigh in on. Because it just seems like the only person that doesn't want Idris Elba as the next James Bond is Idris Elba. Because his name has been bantered around since it started in 2014 when the Sony hack happened and all those emails were leaked. And the head of Sony was like, I think it should be him next. And then they finally asked him and he was like, no, it should be a woman. And people were like, that's crazy talk. We're not ready for that. We're barely ready for a black guy. That's what people said.
Is that what they said?
Yeah.
Is that like
but
that?
But now it's all coming back out again because the director and producer of Bond had a conversation, and the producer, I just want to say her name again, Barbara Broccoli, she said it's time for a non-white actor to take on the iconic role, and that non-white actor is Idris Elba.
If you guys don't know who Idris Elba is, he could pull off James Bond so hard.
Agreed.
Yeah. Right?
He's awesome.
He's tough. He's suave. Yeah. He can do. Just watch Luther on BBC. Look up that series. Yeah. It's amazing. I think he's a little burned out because there was a lot of stuff. Didn't Roger Moore say, like, absolutely not?
Who is Roger Moore?
I'm just saying.
Oh, you mean didn't Roger Moore complain about?
Correct. Oh, like, yeah, there was all this stuff, and I think he's really just like, you know what? Piss off everybody.
Yeah.
A little burnt out, but I think he would be amazing as James Bond.
I do too.
He'd be great. All right. Now that that's out of the way, let's talk about cool things this weekend, Kat.
It's a lot of movies this weekend, which is so exciting, especially because we're all big Star Wars fans here.
Yes.
The Hollywood Bowl is going off. We got a New Hope in concert tonight. Empire Strikes Back tomorrow.
Sweet.
I'm sure those are sold out by now, right?
I would assume so. It's so fun, though. If you can get tickets, it's so fun. It's the LA Philharmonic playing along with the movie. It's a blast.
Just go sit in the parking lot, you know, make more traffic for everybody.
That's a great idea.
Great idea, Kat.
Just stop in the middle of the road.
What other plans can you screw up this weekend?
Tomorrow night, I'm bringing the Bens and the kids, the dogs, to Eatsy here at the Autry for Inglourious Basterds.
Nice.
Which is, come on.
Great movie.
You know.
Right.
So if you, I don't know, you want to meet my dogs? Because I know you don't want to meet me, so just come on down.
Okay.
That's going to be really fun.
It's very cathartic these days to watch Nazis burn.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you talk about, a killing Nazi squad.
We need one.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Brad Pitt's accent in that is like, do you speak Italian?
He's great.
He's good. He's killing it.
Good. And then also Saturday night, which I know you were excited about,
yes.
Allie, is this, it's movies all night, but it's a special, row of movies, including The Craft, Practical Magic, Witches of Eastwick.
It's the eighth annual slumber party at Hollywood Forever. It is a blast. So you get there, you watch The Craft, then I think at midnight it's Practical Magic, 2 a.m., Witches of Eastwick. Yes, please. Who's with me? Seriously.
Amazing lineup of movies. So get out there and do something fun and hang out.
All right. Thanks so much, Kat. Some birthdays for you. Angie Harmon, Justin Theroux, Michael Biv Bivens, and Antonio Banderas. Mm. And that's what's happening.
Thank you, Allie. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with Stryker's commercial free-for-all during your drive home today on the world-famous K-Rock. Have a great weekend, and we will see you Monday morning.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Bonk, bonk.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
This is awkward, guys, huh?
Roll another one.
That's something else right there, man.
Just like the other one.
I'd rather you.
This one seems to be about quit. And I need another hit.
Kiki, do you love me? Are you riding? Say you'll never ever leave from beside me. Cause I want ya, and I need ya, and I'm down for you always. Beat it, kid.
Be such a hoot.
This one seems to be about
spend. Quitter.
And I don't have another cent.
I don't like them putting chemicals in the water that turn the friggin' frogs gay.
But we'll both on that joint.
Oh my gosh, no.
Just pass it around.
I am confused.
And they'll both on that joint, my friend.
Janky.
Just pass it on down.
I never heard that song before, and once I heard it, I did not care for it. But that song means it's time to go home. Now, it's my favorite song.
To be continued?
To be continued.
Mr. Bobby, come on down here.
Help me, Jesus! Help me, Jewish God! Help me, Allah! Ah! Help me, Tom Cruise!
This is going downhill fast.
It
I
is.
Think it'd be a great time to go to commercial break.
Help me, Oprah Winfrey!
Bong, bong.